16, Romans chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2. We appreciate so much the music this morning, and thank you for that beautiful offertory, Charlotte. We appreciate that. And Romans chapter 16 and verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer, or a helper of many, and of myself also. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you now for this time that we can open your word together. We pray, Lord, you'll bless the word in our hearts. We need your help. We pray your Holy Spirit will open our hearts and our minds to receive your word with eagerness of mind. And we might look for the blessing, look for the command, look for the encouragement, look for the glory of Jesus Christ even in what we read this morning and other verses we'll consider. And I pray, Lord, that you would be magnified and lifted up, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'll help us to just live for you. Indeed, day by day, hour by hour, may your name be glorified in our lives. Lord, help us to trust you, to walk by faith and not live in fear, but rather trusting you, committing our way to you, knowing you are a faithful creator, a loving and kind and gracious God, always forgiving, always meeting every need according to your perfect will. And we thank you, Lord, that we can know that all things, even the worst of things, can work together, yea, will work together for good to those of us who love you and who are the called according to your purpose, as the Bible says. So bless now, as we open your word together, I pray you just speak to our hearts. Thank you so much now for this time, in Jesus' name, amen. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. You know, few, if any, of you ladies will ever, now this may come as a shock to you, but few of you, if any, will ever be mentioned in Who's Who of women in America. You will probably not make that list. I doubt that if any of you will ever be invited to the White House and be given the Woman of the Year award by President Trump. You'll likely not be interviewed on Good Morning America, wanting to know your views about being a woman in today's world, or being a good wife and mother. Good Housekeeping magazine will probably not be calling for an article on how you balance the home in today's world. You may not even be recognized as Mother of the Year in McPherson. You should be. You probably could be. If I would nominate you, right? Somebody's just got to know. I think it's whoever gets nominated and gets it, right? You may never have a college degree. You maybe don't even have a high school diploma. You may never be a career woman or an immaculate housekeeper, though that's always your goal, right? You may not know how to use a computer. You may not win Miss Kansas or Mrs. Kansas, or be on the cover of Glamour Girl, if that magazine's still around, I don't know. You may not even be noticed by your husband, of all things. And shame on you, husbands, if that's the case, right? So then, having considered what you probably will not be, does your life then make a difference? Does your life make a difference? Does it not matter? Will you never attain if you don't receive the accolades of the social community around you? Does that mean you're good for nothing after all? Will you never attain? Yes, you will. Yes, 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 1,000 times yes. For what really matters is what matters to God. And all these things I just mentioned don't really matter that much to God. What matters is what matters to God. The rewards, the commendation, and the praise of man are so fleeting, so empty, so vain. But the praise and recognition of God is better than all the gold that glitters. Yea, it is far above rubies, right? Knowing God and knowing his wisdom is better than gold and silver, we read in Proverbs 3:13. And your life is like a ruby or rubies or better than rubies. According to Proverbs 31, who can find a virtuous or excellent woman? For her price, her value is far above rubies. That's your life, ladies. She sees she's not for sale. Her value is too much to be bought. Verse 27 of Proverbs 31, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. She shall be praised. Praised by her husband, praised by her children, her friends, even her God takes note. Simply being yourself in Christ, for Christ, a same surrendered servant. That's what God's looking for. That's the kind of woman God's looking for. That's the kind of man God's looking for. And men, your wife can be what she ought to be, what God wants her to be, if you'll be the man, the husband, the leader that God wants you to be, trusting the Lord, leading the family, seeking to glorify the Lord, putting God first in everything, and then putting the wife right a close second to the Lord, right? Right? So we're to be those that are saved and surrender to the Lord. Ladies, your true glory is to have your name written in the Lamb's book of life and to be seated with your Savior in the heavenlies and to be serving both sinner and saint now in the valleys while you wait that glorious day when God's rewards for faithful service will be realized. And your reward is coming. You receive some of that reward now, just the satisfaction and the joy of knowing you're doing what you ought to do for the Lord. You're being what you can be for the Lord. And knowing that when corruption shall put on incorruption and mortality shall put on immortality, when death shall be swallowed up in life, then shall be glory. Then shall the Lord receive the praise he is due. The labor of our women of God is so often overlooked and seldom appreciated, even in the home, I'm afraid. Again, men, husbands, children, do you appreciate mom? Do you appreciate your wife more than one day a year? Oh yeah, we make a big deal out of Mother's Day and we're so kind and good to our wives, but what about the rest of the year? What about to all of our ladies who are serving the Lord? You see, that labor is often overlooked and often not appreciated in it, yet your labor and your service is so essential and exclusive. It's unlike any other. The service and dedication and love and devotion of the women of God in Scripture is second to none. In the last dark moments of the earthly life of our Savior, who were there? Who were there? Or who was there? The women! The women! Where were the men? They were off somewhere crying, and the women were ministering. We read in John 19:25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. There, three women we read of in that passage at the cross, and the men are hiding. And who was at the resurrection before anyone else? None other than the women. Where were the men today? Where are the men? Where are you, men? Where am I, man? Right? We read in Matthew 28, verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, this is resurrection morning, there came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Now, there were a lot of Marys there, but in this passage, we read of two. And then there was an earthquake and the angel of the Lord descending, and the guards did quake and shake in their boots. And the angel said, "He's not here. Go tell his disciples he's risen." And verse 8, "And they," the women, "departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. And they ran and they gave his disciples word." They were the first messengers. They were the ones that first gave the good news of the gospel, that Jesus is risen. And as they went to tell his disciples, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. The first ones to worship the glorified Jesus were women. Wow. And then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." And then we read in Luke 24:8, "And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre, told all these things to the 11. So there's only 11 disciples now, because Judas went out and hanged himself. And they, the women, told all 11 disciples and all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them, which told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. They told them the story, and they told them the truth, that Jesus is alive, and they didn't believe them. The women were believing, but not the men. And immediately after, the Lord Jesus said in Acts 1, verse 8, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me." And he was then taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight. The Lord Jesus just went up, and there were many, many witnesses. It's true. There's no doubt about it. He's alive. He went up. He ascended and is now seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And then we find the disciples continuing with one accord in prayer. This is in Acts 1:14. They continued with one accord in prayer with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. So the women were there praying as well. Oh, the place of women in the work of the Lord is vitally important, very important. The role of Christian ladies and mothers is a role that is so vital. Their service in the Lord's work is invaluable, priceless, necessary, and does not go unnoticed by God. And so Paul begins his great chapter in Romans 16, where he recognizes about 30 different people plus in recognition of the service of the saints. And his first and foremost is a praise of a woman of Christ, a believer, a saint, a godly woman, gets Paul's attention and gets God's attention, by the way. And so he says in Romans 16:1, "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant." No greater label can be given to any mortal man than that label, a servant, a slave. "I commend her unto you. I give her unto you. I praise her before you. I commend to you Phoebe." We know hardly anything or know nothing about this Christian lady, but God knew everything about her life and service, and he saw fit to record it forever in his word. For God's word is forever settled in heaven, and his word will never pass away. So Phoebe's name is going to always be in his book. And we see that what is recorded about this woman is very good. You know, to have God write something about you, though it only be one sentence, is better than any and every earthly fame or recognition or riches. And what God says, what he summarizes about her, is enough for us to pause and ask the question, would God call me thus? Would God call me a servant, a helper, a saint, a servant of the church, a helper of many, as he calls Phoebe. You know, ladies, God must have something special, very special for you. For you carry burdens and you label on a spiritual level about which many, if not most men, know very little. And I'm serious about that. We act like we have it worse, but we don't have anything like what you ladies bear and what you deal with. You have a spiritual consciousness and awareness that God has given you that I believe sets you apart from men, generally. Speaking in general terms, there are exceptions. I know that. You know, men compartmentalize everything, it seems. Everything goes into a drawer or a shelf or a room in our mind. You know, when I go to Walmart, I usually just go in and I go out. I go here, there, okay, three things. I got my three things, and I'm out of there. And when I go to Walmart, I'm thinking of me. I'm thinking of myself, and I'm buying of myself. Sometimes I go in and I see these flowers, and I go, well, that'd be nice to get for my wife. And then I go, I'll do it another day. You know, and I never do it. I never knew it. Shame on me. I know, you can tell me. You went in there and you bought some, but I didn't. But the wife goes in. The woman goes in, and she buys for the home, for the children, for the grandchildren, for the garden, for her husband, for upcoming birthdays, Christmas gift ideas. And Christmas is 6 months away. And she's thinking, my little grandson would love that. And she comes home and I go, what is all this about? It was half price. And it's perfect for Christmas. And I go, Christmas? Why are you thinking of Christmas? Well, because I have grandchildren and I have kids. And so she's thinking of Christmas gifts, Christmas ideas. She's always conscious of others' needs. And the woman is way ahead of the man in this, believe me. They don't compartmentalize. Their mind just covers everything. I believe God has a special place, a special reward in heaven for you ladies. And no, it's not a heavenly Hobby Lobby. I know Hobby Lobby is Christian. They play Christian music. Praise the Lord for that. It's amazing, amazing. Now, there'll be heavenly riches, far greater than Hobby Lobby in heaven. So, Phoebe, a servant of the church, no higher praise, no greater recognition, no better vocation in the world than that. A servant of the church. Are you, my sister, a servant of the church? Are you a helper of others? Remember Jesus, who said in Mark chapter 10, verse 43, whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever will be chiefest shall be servant of all, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, not to be served, but to minister or serve and give his life a ransom for many. He says in John 13:14, if I then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. And so we should. And Philippians 2:7 says that our Lord took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, a human being, he humbled himself. The Lord of glory came down to earth and became a man that he can have a body. And God prepared him a body that can be nailed to a cross to atone for our sins. And he came as a servant, the servant of servants. So we're in good company when we're called servants of the Lord. So are we servants. It appears that Phoebe is the messenger, the letter carrier of this epistle to Rome. She was so faithful that God entrusted her with this responsibility. And maybe she had some business to take care of in Rome, and so she takes this letter by hand on her journey because she didn't have email yet, didn't have airmail yet. And she not only had Paul's respect and admiration and honor and commendation, but God would honor her not only in his sacred word, but now in heaven. She has entered into her glory. And the word says, them that honor me, I will honor. I believe God is honoring her now in heaven. 1 Samuel 2:30. Well, let's consider the kind of woman that God honors. In our time remaining, the kind of woman that God honors from this passage. First of all, we see that she's a spiritual woman. The kind of woman that God honors is, number one, a spiritual woman. He says, I commend unto you, Phoebe, our sister. Our sister, we might add the phrase, in Christ. Our sister in Christ. And those are not idle words or words without meaning. Paul didn't just throw praises out without thought. He was not a flatterer or given to exaggeration. And for Paul to commend Phoebe to the church at Rome meant something, because Paul was no small fish himself, was he? He was a man of God, a spiritual giant, a man among men. And because Paul commends her means that she was worthy of it. And he calls her his sister. What a wonderful family name to be a part of God's family, because she was made a partaker of grace, the grace of God through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is significant because she likely was of a Greek pagan background with no knowledge of God. In fact, the name Phoebe was a name for the Greek moon goddess. The Greek moon goddess. It means radiant or bright, like the moon is radiant and bright, or bright one. And people were often named after the gods of Greek mythology. And it's interesting to note, when she became a Christian, her name was not changed, but her heart was changed. That's all that needs changing, the heart. Who cares about the name? That was her name, Phoebe. G.S. Nair, our missionary to India, G.S. Nair. Do you know what G stands for? Govington. It's Govington S. Nair. And the S, I forget what the S is for, but both names are names of gods, of some of the many, of the millions of Hindu gods. So he was named after, they say there's 33 million. Hindus worship 33 million gods. Now you can't worship that many gods. So it's kind of a mess, you know. They just worship and anything. But that's G.S., that's why it goes by G.S. But he didn't change his name, he just abbreviated it. But you see, all the gods in this world are nothing. It doesn't matter. They're non-existent. They're non-existent. There is no moon god. And they're nothing. And it shows the triumph of Christ over all. We use pagan names all the time. The days of the week are pagan, right? Sunday is named after the sun god. Monday, the moon god. Thursday, the god of thunder, Thor. And Saturday, Saturnalia, the god of Saturn or whatever. And we don't think anything about it because they're just names representing idols that are nothing. The whole world is under the curse, and Satan is a god in the world, but we don't hide and live in fear from Satan. We respect his power, but we realize greater is he, the Lord Jesus, in you than he that is in the world. But Phoebe is now a sister in Christ. That's the main thing. She came from darkness to light, from being a child of the devil to the child of God, having the destination of hell to the destination of heaven. You know, it's hard enough to think of men going to hell. Sometimes I think us men deserve to go to hell. But women? No way. They're angels. They're angels. Naturally, they're angels, right? Well, you think that till you have a little baby girl. then you realize, I got a barbarian on my hand. I got to train here, right? But to think of women, that they will go to hell if they don't become Christians, it's just incredible. But it's true. I'm afraid it's true. As fair and gentle and beautiful as women are, their beauty will be turned to horror as they agonize in the fires of hell, except they be born again. That's what the Bible teaches. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages for all of our sin is death, men and women, except they be born again. And they'll be without excuse. They're sinners like everyone else in the sight of a holy God, along with all the rest of the wicked sinners in the world. But Phoebe is now a new creature. She probably said, I once was lost, but now I'm found. And so she wore the title sister, I believe, proudly. She's a new creature. Old things were passed away. And behold, all things are become new. By the way, where she lived was of no advantage to her spiritually either. She was from Cenchrea. Cenchrea, which is near Corinth. And Corinth was a very wicked city. It was an infamous port city of wickedness and immorality. Like most seaports, it was a very difficult place to grow spiritually. But the woman that God honors, like Phoebe, is a spiritual woman. Are you? Are you a spiritual woman? Are you a godly woman? What is your background? Are you at a disadvantage because of your background? Did you come through very difficult circumstances? Well, most of us have, right? It seems like. About everybody I ever hear about their background, I say almost 100% come from dysfunctional homes. I believe our home was a dysfunctional home. It didn't always function like it should have anyway. But maybe you came through difficult circumstances. Well, maybe so. But are you now a sister? Old things are passed away. I don't have to go back. I have a new life. Are you living as one bought with Christ's precious blood? Is your life such that God can honor you? And husband, are you leading this one spiritually whose price is far above rubies? Many husbands' wives are more spiritual than their spiritual head. They're more hungry for the word. There's more yearning in them to grow and do what pleases God. And husbands, we can take a lesson from our wife and learn from our wives and grow and be the leader God wants us to be. The woman that God honors is, number one, a spiritual woman. Number two, she is also a serving woman. A serving woman with a servant's heart. Verse 1 again, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. She's served and served and served, which is at Cenchrea. Can there be any more honorable name than this? Servant. There's no greater name. Whatever else you may be in the church, don't neglect being a servant in that thing. Servant, that the Greek word is deaconess. Deaconess, like the word deacon. Deacon is the word serve, a servant, and for a woman is deaconess. There seemed to be an order, more or less, an official function of women in the church known as deaconesses. And references made to a class of women who had the duty of teaching other women and to look after the women of the church. We see that in Titus 2, verse 4, that they may teach the young women, the godly women are to teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That doesn't mean they're inferior to the men, not at all. There's an equality. But their function, one has to lead and one supports, one follows. You got a mess when you got two leaders. You got a mess when you got two followers and no one leading, right? So that's God's way. But they were to teach the younger women. We read that 1 Timothy 5:9. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of, for good works, If she had brought up children, she has lodged strangers, washed the saints' feet, if she had relieved the afflicted, and if she has diligently followed every good work. In other words, they were servants. They were deaconesses. They were to serve and serve and serve. And they were never regarded as an order of preachers, by the way. Or for that matter, allowed to preach to the congregation. Because 1 Timothy 2:12 says, I suffer or I don't allow a woman to teach or usurp authority over a man. That's God. That's what God says in his word. Now, ladies, you are servants. And men, by the way. But we're talking to the ladies. Ladies, you are servants. So be a servant. Don't begrudge your place as a servant. Don't look lightly upon it. Jesus doesn't look lightly upon it. Christ referred to himself as a servant of servants. And so you're in very good company, the company of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, if you're a servant. In Luke 8, verse 1, verse 1 through 3, talks about that Jesus went through every village and city preaching the glad tidings, and certain women, Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's servant, Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. Saying these women ministered, they served Christ out of their substance. In other words, they may have been wealthy, and they gave their wealth to support the Lord Jesus Christ. We never read of any women in the Gospels being hostile to Christ or opposing him. We never do. But many who helped take care of him. And Christ was content to receive their material care. You see, there's no greater service for one who is rich than to serve Christ with his substance, with his riches. After all, why does God make some people wealthy? You know, the Bible tells us why. That they might give it away. God makes people wealthy that they might use it to help others. We read Ephesians 4:28. But let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So those that are rich are to give away to those that have needs. Most servants of the gospel are poor, and God would have the rich to support them. Now, this is the way of the church. And this doesn't say the government is going to distribute your wealth for you. No. Government needs to stay out of it. That's not their job, right? That's not their job. They haven't figured that out yet. But God would have us support others. And so, does my checkbook, does my debit card belong to God? My investments, my savings, my mutual funds, do they belong to God? Or am I hoarding it for myself? Now, we're to plan, we're to prepare, and all of that, but we need to think of others. By the way, I should make sure I have a will, and I should include my church in my will. I believe we should include the church in my will, God's work in a will. Okay, so the woman that God honors, she's number one, a spiritual woman, number two, a serving woman, and finally, number three, a helping woman. A helping woman, a helper of many, a succorer of many. The word succorer is an old English word. It just means to relieve, to help, to aid, caring for the affairs of others and aiding them with their resources. You see, they, like the people of the church, were to assist her and stand by her, for she had stood by many. This word is used of Greeks who became patrons of others, who aided and defended others in their cause, and especially of one who undertook to manage the cause of a stranger, even in going to court before law. They took protective charge. They were succorers, or the Greek word prostasis. So in other words, it was a very honorable title, a helper. one who comes to the aid of someone. And as applied to Phoebe, it probably meant that she had shown great kindness in a lot of different ways to Paul and to others, maybe receiving him into her house or caring for the sick and such as that. You see, that's the essence of Christianity, doing good, helping others, ministering to their physical needs, their emotional needs, their spiritual needs. That's what we ought to be doing. That's what Christ did. He went about doing good. He preached the gospel. He said, repent and believe. But he also ministered to people physically. Phoebe's ministry was a ministry of helps, a gentle ministry that can only come from the heart of a woman, I believe. Where men make a mess of things in trying to help, a Christian woman makes a miracle by her sympathy and soothing softness, where she is able to bind up the wounded spirit. And as a helper of many, she enters into Paul's labors, yea, even into Christ's labors, and thus receives Paul's reward. You see, Paul and Phoebe's ministry was one ministry to one Lord. She that would give a cup of cold water in the name of a prophet would receive a prophetess's reward. And ladies, inasmuch as you help one of the least of the Lord's brethren, you're doing it to the Lord himself. In raising little ones, you're raising them to the honor and glory of the Lord. Little did Phoebe dream that her name would be commemorated eternally in God's word for her unnoticed deeds of kindness, of aid, and comfort and help. And for you that are largely unnoticed and unknown, here is encouragement from the Lord. Revelation 2:19, I know thy works. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and patience. God knows it. That's all that matters. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Your works will follow you into glory, and God will reward for that. Revelation 14:3. Well, we've looked at a brief and yet beautiful glimpse of the woman that God honors, a spiritual woman, a serving woman, a helping woman. Her works are wonderful and they glorify the Lord. But it's not by her works that she becomes godly, that she becomes a servant. For it is by grace that she is saved through faith. That's not of herself, not of works, lest she should boast. But it's by calling on the name of the Lord. And then she receives the gift of grace, the gift of God. Are you a servant? Ladies, men, are we serving? Are we serving every single one within the body of Christ? Are we seeking to love them and honor them? We're to love one another, love one another, love one another. Serve, serve, serve. That's what our church is all about. And if we're not, why not? Why not? And why not now? May God help us to be the kind of men and women that we ought to be. Let's pray. Our Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this beautiful glimpse we have into Paul's note and commendation of a godly woman and of the Lord's recognition of this woman. Lord, it'll be wonderful to meet sweet Phoebe someday in heaven. And I pray, Lord, that we would all be like her and desire to be noted as a servant and a helper. There's nothing greater could be given to us by way of a title than that of a servant and a helper. May we be the best that we can be for you, Lord. We pray your help for us. Bless now as we close. We want to close with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.